With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom? Let me tell you more about mylifeinabook.com. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions that you choose to ask. And mylifeinabook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. One of the challenges I face with being a minimalist is wanting to be as intentional as possible about the things that I am buying. I do understand that I live in a world where I can't completely avoid purchases. There are birthdays, there are holidays, there are the celebrations. But if I can be more intentional about gift giving, it's so important to me. I've had the experience to gift one to my mom, and being able to gift that to her seemed more significant than something that wasn't as sentimental to her. So if this sounds like a gift that you'd be interested in giving, check out mylifeinabook.com and use code MINIMALIST at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com and use code MINIMALIST for 10% off today.
As I was listing these negative thoughts, and I really looked at how they were affecting me, because the thoughts in my mind were real, but I had to really take them to a place of how do they make me feel? And that's when I went to, these are emotional toxins because they make me sad. They make me separate myself from people. They make me separate myself from God and my faith. They make me separate myself from friends because I think I'm not valued. I think I'm not good enough. And that's when I looked at them and said, these are toxins. This is a poison in my mind that I need to gain control of.
Hello, and welcome to the Minimalist Moms Podcast. I'm Diane. I'm a mother of three living in Columbus, Ohio. I'm trying to make room in my life for what matters by getting rid of the clutter and living life with purpose. I hope you'll join me on the journey to think more and do with less. Joining me today is author Billy Jouse. Billy is an accomplished author of two books, Making Room and her latest, Distraction Detox. Today, Billy will share with us her personal journey of overcoming emotional barriers that left her feeling stuck, uncertain, and discouraged. She discovered that despite simplifying her schedule and taking control of chaos in her life, she still needed to address the emotional toxins that were holding her back from claiming confidence and fulfillment. So join me today as Billy shares her experience and practical tips on how to detox from what she calls emotional toxins, comparison versus conviction, how to eliminate right-hand syndrome, and more. For those of you that are new around here, I do release bonus episodes that serve a niche part of my audience, and I do have listeners of all faith backgrounds that listen to the podcast. This episode is coming from a Christian perspective, so if that's something that doesn't fit what you're looking for, check out the other episode that dropped this week with my friend Tracy Showalter, or check out the episode dropping next week with my guest Christine Miles, all about the importance of listening in relationships, not just with our spouses, but with our children, our family, our friends. You won't want to miss this one. All right, as with bonus episodes, I jump right into the conversation, so let's get to it with Billy. Billy, thanks so much for joining me today on the Minimalist Moms Podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I am excited to have you here. We just found out that we have a connection from Columbus that now is in Naples. And so it was so fun to just kind of break the ice in that way. I love when that happens. Yeah,
I do too. You know, I tell people all the time, the world is really small when you talk to other people.
Yeah.
You know, and when you don't know how small it is, because a lot of times you'll end up with some connection of something somewhere, somehow.
Well, it's why you should never burn bridges, because you never know.
That's a lesson I taught my kids many, many years ago. Never burn a bridge, because you're always going to end up back on that bridge one way or another. It might not be with the exact person, but it'll be, you know, 6 degrees of separation from that person, and it's still too close, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, who am I talking today? Why don't you go ahead, introduce yourself, and we'll get started.
Oh gosh, isn't this always a hard thing to do? You're like, don't want to sound too boring and you don't want to boast. I mean, it's just a weird place to be. But my name's Billy. I'm an author, speaker, podcast host. I'm married to David now for 34 years. Oh my God, I feel so old. And we have three boys. My husband is in professional baseball. So we have been in professional baseball. This is actually our 36th Major League Baseball season we're going into.
Wow.
And that makes me feel really, really old when I say it. But our three boys, you know, grew up living this crazy life of baseball. We've lived in 15 different cities and towns in the U.S., Dominican Republic, and Venezuela. And I prayed really hard not for my kids to go into baseball, because it's a hard life on the wives, on the girlfriends, you know? And I was like, please, I don't want them to go into baseball. And guess what all three do? They're all in baseball. So
usually is how that happens, right?
Yeah, it is funny. But yeah, so I've written two books. I'm actually contracted for a third book that I'm in the deadline for now. So I'm working hard on that and excited about that.
Okay. Okay. So you wrote this book that we're going to be talking about today. It's called Distraction Detox: Release Emotional Barrier, Restructure Priorities, Realize God's Best. What prompted you to write Distraction Detox?
Yeah, my first book was called Making Room, Doing Less So God Can Do More. And they're faith-based books. It's a place that I come from and things that I've learned over the years and how that process has happened. But in Making Room, it really talked about the external distractions. You know, when we get caught up in watching TV or movies or streaming Netflix for hours and hours, or I know I'm older, but I can get on TikTok and Instagram and scroll for way too long. And so that was that part of how do we really focus on our faith rather than losing ourselves and falling into that comparison when we get on Insta, or, you know, the things that we think we need to have as moms and wives and friends. And so in Making Room, there was a small portion in chapter two that talked about the internal distractions. And that was a section that most people wanted me to talk about when I went to speak, when I, you know, did interviews. That was something that people really wanted to talk about. So I said, okay, I'll dig into that. I don't struggle with that very much, but let me dig into it. Well, let me tell you, when I started digging into it, I made a list of all the things that I was thinking about, the negative things, the things that were stressing me out, making me anxious, what I thought of myself, what I thought of, you know, how I interacted with others. And when I wrote that list down, I'm a list maker. So when I wrote that list down, I never realized that how big of a bully I was to myself. I was my biggest bully. I would never, ever say those things to my kids.
Yeah.
My husband, to my family, to my friends. I would never even say the things I said to myself to a stranger. Mm-hmm. It was hurtful and demeaning and degrading and devaluing. And once I looked at them, I realized how much they really did stress me out. They took me to a place that I should never go to in my mind. Yeah. And so in that sort of, and I was doing this for a talk that I was giving actually in the spring to baseball wives and girlfriends. Mm-hmm. And as I started going through it, I'm like, man, I'm lost in my own world in this. Like, I need to really figure this out. Mm-hmm. And I went into the process of how do I get in control of these? How do I determine what they are? How do I evaluate what they are? How do I terminate them? And then I'm a planner. So I needed to outline a plan and then execute it. Like, this is what I need to do to overcome this. Mm-hmm. And it was transformative in my life. I'm not going to say it's a one read fix. I will not promise you that you will completely get rid of every negative thought. But what you can do is get that thought before it spirals you down into a place that you don't want to be.
Mm.
You know, and you can get a hold of that thought and then transform it into the truth rather than a lie, because they're all lies, those negative thoughts, and then move forward in that.
Yeah. So I had some questions that I wanted to ask you, and I think I'm going to bounce around just because of how you started this conversation. Yeah. But would you say some of the things that you're referring to are emotional toxins that you write about? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. Okay. I call them emotional toxins because the thing that I found is as I was listing these negative thoughts, and I really looked at how they were affecting me, because the thoughts in my mind were real. But I had to really take them to a place of how do they make me feel? And that's when I went to, these are emotional toxins because they make me sad. They make me separate myself from people. They make me separate myself from God and my faith. They make me separate myself from friends because I think I'm not valued. I think I'm not good enough. And that's when I looked at them and said, these are toxins. This is a poison in my mind that I need to gain control of because nobody else could help me now. And I'm going to say this, if you're having such negative thoughts, you cannot overcome them. Counseling is the way to go. I've been in counseling before. I've been in counseling many times. I believe in counseling. If you get to the point where you cannot help yourself in that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But in this book, I felt like this is something I can stop. I can really figure out how to move past it. And that was taking those emotional toxins, that poison that was going into me, and I was allowing to increase in me mm-hmm. and take control of those and replace it with truth.
So would you say that you had a tendency, or maybe a personality tendency, or do you think this was circumstantial for you?
Yeah, my personality, nah, girl, you would never think that I had these thoughts. Like mm-hmm. it was not, even when I told my husband some of the things I was thinking, he's like, what? Mm-hmm. You think you're a bad mom? You're a great mom. And I'm like, yeah, but I did this thing wrong and blah, 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 you know, and my kid's going to hate me forever. And, you know, whatever it was. And that was funny because one of the things that when I was thinking about what I was thinking about, mm-hmm. I would think, oh, I'm a bad mom. Mm-hmm. My kids are adults now. And fortunately, I should write a book on this, and I don't know how it happened. Mm-hmm. Our kids like us. Mm-hmm. They want to spend time with us. My three boys call me almost every day.
Oh, so yeah.
That should be to me like, yeah, you're a pretty good mom. Your kids like you and they're adults. They don't have to like you. But I would think I'm a bad mom. My kids aren't going to like me or love me or whatever it is. And I had to dig into that. What was it? That's part of that evaluation of it. Mm-hmm. Why it makes me feel that way. But where was it? Where did it come from? What happened that, you know, that made me think that? And I went back to this incident when my oldest son was like 11 or 12, where he said something to me that scared me to death because I thought this was going to be a habit he would have the rest of his life. Mm-hmm. He would take him down a path that would lead him into destruction, that he wouldn't have a prosperous life and, you know, and enjoy life. Yeah. And it was something silly. It was just, you know, a friend of his had tried some drugs and he's like, in his mind, he just wanted to tell me about it. Like, what can I do to help him? In my mind, I went to fear and I screamed at him, but it was based on my fear. So the fear of what could happen turned into a really bad moment with my kid. We asked each other for forgiveness. We both said things we shouldn't have. We moved forward from it. But anytime something happened, I would think I'm a bad mom.
Yeah. No, I get that. I noticed this with my kids. My first two were really little. We'd be at the playground and I would just yell at them. And it wasn't because they were doing anything wrong. It was because I was so afraid they were going to get hurt. And so if they didn't do something exactly how I wanted them to, I would yell. And it was because I was uncomfortable. And I had to process that and learn that. And now I feel like I'm the fun mom at the playground. Cause I'm like, you know, your boundaries. I watched my 3-year-old the other day and there was this big equipment that I was really nervous if he got to the top, but I was like, he's probably not going to climb all the way up there. And if he does, then he is confident in himself. So he climbed halfway. It was too high for him. And he came right back down. I want to give him sure the opportunity to encourage him that he can, but also I want him to learn what he is comfortable with as it comes. Yeah.
That's teaching them coping skills at a young age.
Yeah.
Because they got to learn how to cope with things and how to, you know, as your kids get older into preteens and teens, they're exposed to so many things within school or activities that they're a part of that mm-hmm. they may not be exposed to at home, and having a safe place that they can come to you and sort of figure out those boundaries of how can I help this person? How far can I go into this friendship with this person rather mm-hmm. than just saying that's a bad influence. You don't need to be with them. It's talking through it, teaching them coping skills and how to relate to others in a safe way. What mm-hmm. are their boundaries? Teaching them boundaries, that type of thing. So I mean, and the thing of it was that when I started thinking about yelling at my kid and why I thought I was a bad mom, it was because a girlfriend of mine, when I was in college, had told me, you're going to be a horrible mother. You're never going to amount to anything as a mother, in an anger rage that she had towards me. Yeah. But that's where I went back to and went, that's where it came from. Now, a bunch of the feelings I have, I've never figured out why I think that, why I hold on to that truth mm-hmm. when they're truly lies. I've written 2 books. I've got a contract for a 3rd book. Every time I go to write, I think my content's not valuable. Nobody's going to like it. I'm a bad writer. I can't write a book. Where that came from, I figured that one out, was a 9th grade teacher that told me I couldn't understand the book. So it was best for me not to comment on what the book meant.
I guess this is my belief, but I think that there is a healthy amount of maybe negative, shameful thoughts that we should have to inspire us to be better. But maybe yes. Shame isn't the right word, because I do think shame is not of God, but there's a healthy dose of reality of maybe I do yell at my kids too much. And that's a yes. conviction.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And I'm not talking about the things that are a conviction or a correction on, oh, wow, I shouldn't do that. Yeah, I hope you catch yourself when you do things that are not building on the kids and growing them in a loving way.
Yeah.
What I'm talking about is when you don't really do that outward stuff, but in your mind, you continue to say, I can't do this. I'm not good enough. I'm not valuable enough. Comparison on Instagram.
Yeah.
I've got a girlfriend that decided she was never going to invite anybody over to her house because it didn't look like her friends' houses on Instagram. Her house was beautiful. It was clean. Mm-hmm. Was it the high-end products that some of the Insta accounts had? No. But in her mind, she wasn't worthy enough and didn't have a valuable enough space to invite her friends into. And that took her to a place of separation. Mm-hmm. And that's where we don't want to be, is separating ourselves from friends, family, God. No, you know, not allowing these negative thoughts to separate us from who we should be closest to. You know, there comes a time of realization, like you're saying, where you realize this is not healthy. This is not how I should be. And this is how I want to grow. You know, in the book, I talk about taking those deceptive thoughts as emotional toxins mm-hmm. and replacing them with God's truth, digging into scripture, finding a scripture that replaces that. When I went on Facebook after I made my list and figured out how many thoughts I had, I just wanted to hear, did other people have thoughts like that? Like, you think negative about yourself and you never say it out loud, you never present it to others, but you feel that it's separating you from God, from family or friends. And I got a boatload of response. It was shocking to me how many people fell into, and I ended up putting them in categories. And the three categories were fear, unbelief. And then the third category is, you just said, shame and guilt. God doesn't want us living in fear. He doesn't want us living in doubt. And he does not want us living in guilt and shame. And those were the three categories that I found that really people fell into the most: the fear of failure, fear of success, fear of not doing well, doubt that they're valuable enough or they're loved enough or they're good enough, you know, shame from their past. Like, I held on to yelling at my kid. My kid still loved me and liked me and, you know, spends time with me. But in my head, I kept saying, I'm a bad mom. I'm a bad mom. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't true. You know, many times I've said I'm a bad wife, you know, that shame and guilt of something I may have said or done to my husband that he forgave me for, but I never forgave myself.
Are you ready to take your gardening game to the next level this year? If you're anything like my husband and me, you've been getting your hands dirty in the garden, learning the ropes and dreaming of a bountiful harvest. Well, let me tell you about Coast of Maine Planting Soil, our secret weapon for a thriving garden. Everything grown in Coast of Maine soil is organic and safe for your family and friends right out of the garden. Their living soils are carefully crafted to enhance soil structure, provide essential nutrients, and promote robust plant growth. With a diverse portfolio of products for all your gardening needs, they're rooted in sustainable practices and a commitment to organic excellence. Coast of Maine believes in nurturing relationships with local retailers. The products are carried by local retail partners who can provide advice and insight not found in big box stores. Coast of Maine knows, from beginner to expert, anyone who takes a hand to the land has something to offer the growing community of gardeners everywhere. Their products make organic gardening simple, approachable gardening for everyone. So let's get growing. Visit coastofmaine.com to find a local retailer near you. Coast of Maine, like the state with an E.com.
Are you committed to eating clean, especially when it comes to your protein powder? With Puri's PW1 whey protein powder, you can trust that you're getting the purest ingredients without harmful chemicals or toxins. Over the last few years, I've been more interested in cleaning up our environment, cleaning up the foods that we're eating, especially with the food that I'm giving to my children. My 4-year-old is the pickiest eater, and it's difficult to get him to eat a lot of protein, so I love that I can throw Puri's protein powder into his smoothies or pancakes. Puri is third-party tested against over 200 contaminants. It's free from hormones, GMOs, pesticides, soy, and gluten, delivering 21 grams of protein per serving. Plus, like I said, it tastes delicious, even for the pickiest of eaters. So don't just take my word for it. With Puri, you can find the actual data behind every batch, which makes Puri a supplement brand that you can trust. And right now, Puri is offering my listeners 20% off their PW1 whey protein and all their great products. So go to my exclusive URL, puri.com/minimalist, and use my promo code minimalist. This even applies to the already discounted subscriptions, so you'll get almost a third off the price. Go to PURI.com/minimalist and don't wait. Use promo code minimalist at PURI.com/minimalist. This episode is sponsored by ByHeart. I'm so happy to partner with ByHeart because their goal is to create a future where all parents feel amazing about feeding their baby, no matter how they do it. Their mission is simple: make the best infant formula in the world. Let me tell you a little bit more. ByHeart's patented protein blend gets closest to breast milk by including the two most abundant proteins in breast milk, plus whole and partially broken down proteins for a nutritious blend that's gentle on tummies. ByHeart ran a clinical trial where they compared their formula to a leading infant formula, improved benefits like less spit up, easier digestion, and so much more. ByHeart is leading the ways in a lot of ways. They're the only U.S.-made infant formula to use organic, grass-fed, whole milk, not skim. It's the only new infant formula brand to add a comparison to breast milk in their clinical trial. And ByHeart is the first infant formula company to receive Clean Label Project's Purity Award. So are you curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with code minimalist for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply. All right. So I want to quickly talk about what is the right hand syndrome that you talk about in your book?
This is part of just talking about scheduling and priorities in our lives and how we, this was more in my first book of how we can plan our lives. And the outline in this book of how do we set in place the things that are important to us, right? And when my kids were younger, it was funny because I had a schedule that was really filled and I was totally stressed out about baseball, basketball, wrestling, church, youth group, Bible study, you know, all the things that I had going on, I'm stressed out about. But when someone at school would say, hey, who can bring cookies for after the basketball game? And I would raise my right hand and go, I can. Who wants to volunteer to take all the kids to Chuck E. Cheese after whatever? I can. And so my husband, one day I came home and I'm like, oh my gosh, great opportunity. I can do this. I can do that. And he goes, wait a minute. You suffer from the right hand syndrome. This is why you're stressed out all the time. Those may be really, really good things, but are they good God things? You're not doing anything bad, but are you doing what's most important to God, to your family? Are those things the most important? So my right hand syndrome was I was over volunteering. Because I wanted to be involved. I wanted to help out. But we really have to take note of what are the priorities in our life and how can we focus on those before we fill all the, you know, all the empty space or the complete empty space before we look at those priorities in our lives. And I always talk about five priorities in our lives, that we have five things that we can do and do really well with great focus. You know, for me, my faith is very important. My husband is the next thing that's most important to me. And this was even when my kids were growing up, because I knew one day I'd be sitting where I am right now with no kids in the house. And it's just me and my husband. Mm-hmm. And I knew that was important to focus on. And hey, all grace to people with toddlers, because in those years, it's really hard to take time for you and him, but you have to find those quiet moments, you know, sneak in a coat closet and have a moment of just looking at each other like you did when you were dating, you know, whatever it may be. And then my kids, if my kids call and something else, I'm doing something else that I can take a 5-minute break from, I'm going to talk to my kids. The fourth one for me is writing and podcasting and speaking, that ministry part of my life, that I want to make sure that I'm obeying God where he's asked me to step out boldly in faith and do what he's called me to do.
Yeah.
And then my fifth one for me are my baseball girls. My baseball girls, wives and girlfriends of coaches and trainers and players that I really do pour into. And I hate to use the word mentoring because I feel like it's such a mutual mentorship. Like the young girls can teach me a lot too about life, you know, and I can help guide and lead them, and leading Bible studies with them, spring, you know, the spring women's event with them, whatever it may be. I want to make sure that I'm keeping that as a priority. And then if we have an empty jar and we're putting in all the extra stuff, all the right-hand syndrome stuff, we don't have room for those five priorities, those five big priorities to put those in that jar. So we need to take care of those five first. Mm-hmm. And then we can fill in with the little stuff, but we're not neglecting the thing that God's called us to pour into, our faith, our our spouse, our kids, you know, whatever it is he's called us to. So yeah, that was a right-hand syndrome for me. And I'm a lot better, but I still find myself at times when people are like, who can volunteer to serve on Sunday at this time? And so, you know, and my husband's already asked me to go out to lunch. And I'm like, no, I can't do it. My husband's asked me to go to lunch after church. So I'm not going to volunteer after church. So not that I don't other times, but I make sure that those priorities are taken care of first.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that the right-hand syndrome, I've suffered from that throughout the last, I mean, probably my whole life. And what I also realized is by saying yes, maybe someone else that was meant to fill that space or that maybe is a little bit more introverted or wouldn't necessarily step up, I was taking that opportunity, or even in a small group setting or at a meeting, I would have to fill the silence because I couldn't let it be silent for too long. And it's like, don't take that opportunity for either God or someone else's motivation that comes to be suppressed. And I felt like that allowed me some peace to say, like, you don't have to fill that space as the extrovert that you are.
Exactly. Giving people other opportunities to be able to step into a place that needs attention or that they need to be that person. Yeah. And sometimes I can step in, extrovert. I don't know if you do Enneagram, 8 on the Enneagram. I can be like, I can be the one that jumps up quickly and try to pull people behind me. And that isn't always a blessing. Sometimes it's better for them to lead and me to help guide them from the back, you know?
No, I totally agree. I have two more quick questions for you. And the first one is, you have, again, distraction detox. And so on the front cover, I just wanted to know about your cover and why you chose that. Is it like a detoxing drink? I'm looking at listeners. It is a glass jar with some mint, some lemon, some honey. Is that why you chose that?
Yeah. The artist sent it to me and she's like, hey, I want it to look sort of like a detox. Great. And she had lemons and honey and it was sort of out of order. And I just looked at it and I went, you know what would be really good is lemon on the left and honey on the right, because we want to go from that bitter feeling to that sweet honey, that place of comfort, of being able to be in peace. And I use honey a lot. And it was funny that she even put it on there. She had it sort of behind the picture. And I was like, pull it out front. Let's go from that bitterness of lemons, you know, that tartness of what it feels like when you realize that emotional toxin that you need to overcome, and how you take that and you move into that sweet honey with a fresh mint on top that just gives you this sensation in your nose that you're like, oh, that's it. And really moving into that place of healing, of where you are in a free place where freedom fills you from those negative thoughts, from those emotional toxins, freeing you to be able to hear where God's asking you to go next, asking you to step out in that bold faith.
Yeah. My last question for you is, what is maybe the number one thing you'd want readers to take away from reading this one?
The number one thing I'd want them to take away is that they can overcome those thoughts that take them down to places they shouldn't be. They can overcome them. They may never, you know, people are like, oh, well, God can heal people things. He can. For some reason, he is not healing me of these negative thoughts. Something happens and a thought comes up. And, you know, I try to take hold of them and make sure that they don't get worse. Sometimes I let them get worse. And then I think, no, I have scripture to replace that. And that's what I want people to do, is take that deception and move it into the truth of what God tells us. We're not called to live in fear. He's not given us a spirit of fear. You know, doubting, we don't doubt. We trust in him, that he has us where we are in that moment that we're there to do what he's asking us to do with whoever that is with us.
Absolutely. Well, where can people grab a copy of their own and connect with you online?
Yeah, the best place to go is my website, Billie, JAUSS.com. And that's my website. And you can go there and find the book, find me on social media, my podcast, my speaking schedule, all of that.
Well, Billie, this was a great conversation. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you.
What did you think of the episode? I hope you enjoyed the conversation. To learn more about today's guest, including links, resources related to everything discussed today, visit the episode page at minimalistmomspodcast.com, where you can find the entire podcast archive, as well as my book, Minimalist Moms, Living and Parenting with Simplicity, or other ways to connect or work with me online. If you'd like to support the podcast, the easiest and most impactful thing you can do is subscribe to the show on iTunes, Spotify, or YouTube, or wherever you listen to podcasts, and leave a rating or review of your favorite episode. Lastly, sharing the show or your favorite episode with friends on social media is very helpful and will encourage others on their journey to think more and do with less.